And this is a big chapter. More than a few verses from this morning. So what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to be here till midnight? Like in the New Testament, I think some guy fell off of the balcony and broke his neck from Paul preaching too long. Was it Paul preaching too long or something like that? Nobody fall from the balcony up there, okay? Just put your seatbelts on, okay? Carlton, don't jump. Okay, all right. Genesis chapter 24. I think this is such a unique chapter and crazy to us because this is so far out of our culture that it's just got some great shock value. Let me illustrate it like this, okay? Let's go to Genesis chapter 24. We're in the transition. Sarah's passed away. Abraham is about ready to die. In fact, it'll describe him as being stricken with old age. And so we know that this transition has to happen from Abraham to Isaac, right? Because Isaac's born, he's about 40 years old. He's almost, he still doesn't have a wife. And all of a sudden there's this transition. So how do we find a wife? Well, we send Isaac off to Maranatha Baptist University to find a wife. That's how we get, you know, a significant other, right? Get the MR degree. Well, send him to Bob Jones, maybe, or Faith, or, well, no, they didn't really have that in Canaan back then, okay? Or wherever it might be. But if you get into this situation, let's just say it like this, okay? So we have familiar faces here tonight, all right? Let's say Barry comes up to me and he says, I'm looking for a husband for my daughter, Ema. Okay? All right? She's already shaking her head. And he says, listen, I pay your salary, so you're my servant, right? And so therefore, at least that's how he'd say it, right? Okay, so he comes up to me and he says, listen, I need you to grab my thigh and swear an oath that you will go and you will find a husband for my daughter back in the Hoopston area. I need you to go back to Hoopston area and find a husband for my daughter. Now, Emma, would you be okay with that? No, I didn't think so. She'd be like, what is he going to come up with next, right? It's so far outside of our zone. Did anybody have an arranged marriage in here? Anybody? Anybody willing to confess? Okay, just one in here? Okay, all right. That's cool. Now, was it your parents' servant that, no, I didn't. So even that is like different. And we wouldn't fathom. Listen, I would not want my dad to find a wife for me, okay? You know, back when I was looking, that I didn't want that to be a part of his resume. I really didn't, okay? Now, my dad's a nice dad, all right? And he's looking out for me. He's looking out for me. He likes it when I say good things about him, okay? All right? So, yeah, he's looking out for me, but yet
it's not even acceptable, really, within our culture for an arranged marriage like that. But here's where we come to, where Abraham's going to send this guy on a mission. Nobody asks Isaac if he's okay with it. In fact, he doesn't say anything. There's no complaints. There's no nothing. In fact, at the end of the story, it almost looks like a Hallmark movie. And you'll understand once we get there. And it's like, whoa, how romantic. And all the ladies are going to go, ah, you know, at the very end. It's going to be amazing. But as we got to start. So let's get into Genesis chapter 24. It's a man on a mission. And we'll jump into verses 1 through 9 on the details of the mission, okay? So here we have the mission. Carlton, you're just going to have to keep up with me and keep up with me fast, all right? So Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1, and it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." It's kind of like what Pastor was talking about tonight. Every good thing comes from God. He is good, and he is the one that gave Abraham everything. It's nothing by Abraham, and we've noticed in a couple of passages in regard to Abraham, he didn't want any glory to go to anyone else except for God himself, and so here he is. God gets the glory. "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." That's where you got the hand under the thigh. You thought I was weird when I said Barry was going to ask me to put my hand on his. That was something that they did. Culturally, that was acceptable. Today, that would be weird. Okay? But just think of it like as a handshake or a contract type deal. But this was something that they did back then. And so he's asking, he says, I want you to have an oath here. And you say, well, who is this servant? Well, according to this, we don't really know for sure. If you were to go back to Genesis chapter 15, you remember when Abraham was trying to search for someone who would take on his line? He said, God, will you put Eliezer, the steward of my house, Eliezer from Damascus, will you make him the one that takes all of what I have and carry on the line? And God says, no way. So the only thing that we would see here is that it could be Eliezer, but we don't. So what do you get from this? Well, we'll get to that here in a few minutes. But as we see, there could be some application drawn from that. But here we go into verse number 3, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." So he says, going back to my family, go find a wife for my son. And again, this is acceptable in their culture, to find a wife amongst relatives. And we'd say, wow, that's kind of crazy. But that was okay. And in fact, Abraham, that's why he felt like he could get away by lying to other rulers and say, hey, Sarah, don't tell them you're my wife. You know, say that you're my sister. Because she was kind of sort of a relative. And so there was a half-truth that he thought was spoken there. But this is what he's asking. Hey, go the distance, go travel all the way back and find a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? So if you were to be given a mission like this or instructions and being told what to do, would you ask for a little bit more detail? Especially in the sense of what's going on here. I want you to go and I want you to find someone and bring her back. Does she have to be willing, right? I mean, this is kind of far out. Will she trust me enough to be able to come back? What will the family say? Well, they say, well, that was crazy Abraham. He left a long time ago. I don't know if you want to go that direction. There's a lot of things that could come up here. And he says, well, what if she doesn't come back? Can I take Isaac with me to Cain or to back to the homeland? Could that present a problem? Oh, yeah. The same problem that Abraham could have dealt with. And in fact, going back to the homeland, oh man, that's nice. I'll stay here. It might be a little bit easier here. And then I've got family to be around. And yet, what does Abraham say? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. There is some strong faith on display in this passage, right? Listen, God called me here. He can go before you, and he can make it happen. God will prepare a way, even when it seems like there is no way. Abraham's basically saying, have faith in God. Trust him. Trust him. And if the woman will not be willing to, in verse 8, follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand underneath the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning the matter. And so he said, you can be free and clear of this oath if no one comes back, but don't take my son. And why is he making sure this happened? Wouldn't Abraham still be around to be able to just say, hey, don't take my son whenever the servant comes back? Well, he might not be. How long of a journey would it take for him to get back to the homeland and to try to find and convince someone to come back? And if they don't, then he's got to travel back. And is Abraham still going to be alive when he's well stricken in age? Who knows? And so that's why he's saying, listen, I want you to make an oath. I want to make sure that Isaac doesn't go back, that he stays where God has placed our family and where this line needs to continue. This is where God's placed us. This is where God's blessing us. I want these to be the parameters. Swear an oath. And the servant swore the oath. There's something in here that I think we need to be able to grasp. Yes, Abraham's sending us on a mission. But have you ever really understood what God's called you to and what he's called me to? Has he called us on a mission? Has he told us some things that could be a stumbling block to other people? Has he told us what could be a hindrance to some? And yet he still called us, and we understand that as we look throughout the New Testament when he says, listen, you know, the animals, they have a place to stay, but I'm not sure if you will. If you follow after me, they'll persecute you. What seems like bad things could happen, there's some things that I'm calling you to that might be uncomfortable for you. And you know, the parameters that Abraham put on here was just have faith in God. Where's our faith to the life that God's called us to? But you know, on the same level here, I love it how the servant, he wants details. He wants to understand the full parameters. He wants to understand how to move forward. You know, that's kind of like the sermon this morning and how Pastor had talked about how this man was healed, and yet Jesus says, don't go and tell anyone. I want you to obey. I want you to understand what God's called you to and to do it. I want you to be able to understand that. And there is a matter of searching that out and knowing what God wants from us in our daily living. And so when you're in this, I love how the servant here, even though he's being called to something pretty crazy, he says, okay, all right, what's my parameters? What's the instruction? What if this happens? And he's searching that out. He's taking it to the next level. He's actually having a conversation with Abraham here. But you know, another thing to be thinking about is we did mention it could be Eliezer, but we have no idea. That's not really the main point. But you know what? Some people might look at this factual story, look back and say, man, if I was going to do something crazy like that, I would sure like my name being put to the page. Being done by, right in your name, right in your signature. And yet God saw it fit that it just says servant all throughout this. Why? Because humility's here. He's been called to a mission and he just gets up. He doesn't need anything. He's just been called by his master to do what needs to be done for the sake of this covenant to continue, right? He needs to be able to have a wife. Isaac needs to be able to have a wife for there to be more children. And he just commits to it. He's not complaining. We don't see any complaints here. He's just, okay, what are the parameters? Abraham, just have faith that God's going to move. He's going to make a way. So let's see more about the servant here in verses 10 through 67. 10 through 67. It goes on, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now, even from these two verses, you can find that there's some character traits that you'll see within the servant. The servant, as he was asked, he got up and he left. He got what he needed and he left. He just jumped to it. He's going to be charged ahead to get the job done. And you'll see more of that as he goes along. There's really no delay. But then as he jumps to it, here he has all of Abraham's things. You know what he could do? He could go and open up a tab at the local restaurant and say, I'm just going to hang out here for a little while and see if anybody shows up. He could just chill out. Well, it's a long journey. So Abraham, you know, he doesn't know how long it's going to take. And he might not even be around, so I can hang out here as long as possible because this seems easy. I'm on Abraham's dime here. And yet you don't see that. He immediately goes to a place where he knows that he will see women. They're actively at work going to where they normally go. Culturally, this is where they would go to get water and to take it back home. And so he says, okay, I need to find a wife. I'm going to go where they're at. And he didn't go to a not respectable place, okay? He went to a place where the women were respectable, where they were getting the job done and they were caring for their families. And so he's going and he's being active and he's placing himself where he knows that I can get the job done. And then he goes into verse 12 and he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. He didn't just jump into the lot and have Italians. Well, that she looks good. I mean, I think Isaac would like her. And oh man, wow, she carries like 10 jugs at one time. I mean, she's strong. She could be able to handle Canaan. And he doesn't go off and carry a tally. He immediately goes to God and says, God, guide me. Thank you. You've brought me here. make this happen fast. Give me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham, who he was an ambassador for. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So he's offering up a prayer, and he's saying, God, if this is the one, let her be the one that when I go up and approach her and ask for water, that she will say, yeah, sure, I'll give you some water, and then I'll take care of your camels also. Say, wow. Say, why would you say wow? Because she would take the initiative beyond what she was asked and then care for camels. They drink a ton of water. And so what she thought would be just a journey to go and get water for her family ends up being a journey to get water for her family and a journey for this stranger and a journey for getting water for all of these camels, and then finally she might make it back. Do you ever have an inconvenience in your schedule? How do we respond to those? Are we showing a little bit of Jesus? No Jesus at all? I think if we all confessed our sin, because we know it is sin, right? We would be upset by our inconveniences. Because I have a schedule to keep. I got things to do. I got responsibilities to handle. Back up. Watch out. I'm on a mission. And yet, here's what he's asking. He's saying, may she take this initiative to go beyond. Now, let me further talk about this. Have you ever prayed to God, and you know that you need to be doing something, but in the midst of that, you pray and limit God to where you can excuse yourself out of what you know you should be called to? Say, okay, where are you going with this? All right? Have any of you gone visiting before? And you walked up to a stranger's door, and the entire time you're walking up to the door, you're praying, God, may they not be here. I'll leave a track. God, I know you got the power to be able to use this track in whatever ways that you want to use, right? None of us have prayed that prayer. God, may they not answer the door. Or hey, I need to talk to that person. God, may they run as fast out of this church building as possible. They must be motivated to get to the buffet as quick as possible so I don't have to talk to them. Sometimes we say a prayer to excuse ourselves out of it. Well, I didn't see him, God, so therefore it must not have been your will. Do you think that was anything about God's will in that moment, or do you think it was all about my will? You know, the servant is here. He's on a mission. He hasn't delayed. He's moving forward. He's going where the women would be that he's searching for. He's not trying to make this so detailed to limit God to where he can excuse himself out of the mission and then walk back home. This is not where he's at. We're not seeing that kind of a pattern. The pattern that we're seeing is that he wants God to move in an awesome way, but he's there. And he's working, and he's doing what he can to make it happen. But this is a big deal. I mean, there's a lot of ladies to choose from. There's a pretty big field that he's working with. God, can you help me narrow this down? Was he even from that area? Did he even know where he was going? That's the thing. And here he is. He's praying to God for guidance to help him get the job done. Pausing there for a moment, how many times do we pray when the mission seems pretty broad? How many times do we actually pray for guidance and for direction? Stop and ask Him to move in ways that maybe I just don't see the next step. How many times do we step back and say, well, God, I know that Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Help me seek what's in Your word to be able to guide me for those next steps. How many times are we doing that? Goes on in verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Say, perfect, she's here. He should know, right? This is the person. He doesn't know. We're the ones getting the names. We're the one that's looking up above and seeing what's happening. He has no idea. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all of his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. I mean, he's shocked. God, is this it? Is this the person? Because he still doesn't know who she is. All he knows is that she's gone and gotten the water, and she's getting water for all the camels. And he's like, God, is this it? Can you imagine the excitement on his face? He'd be pumped. Is this it? What's going on? And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. He might have done a happy dance. We don't know. What we do know is, he worshiped God. He worshiped God. He pointed it all to God. God did this. God provided. God made this happen. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. So he said, praise be to God. And then she runs back to her mother's house. She's going to let the family know. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. He says, hey, we're ready for you. Come on in, we're going to take care of you. So he goes on in verse 32. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. So he took care of his camels, he took care of his animals there, and he took care of his people that were there. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat. Do you think he's hungry by now? Do you think he's ready to eat? When food's set before you, do you just, you jump in, don't you? You get excited? After a long trip, oh, supper. Great. I'm famished. I've been eating gas station junk food this entire trek, right? Can you imagine what he would have been taking with him? But yet he is here and he's ready and there's rest and he says, hold on. I will not eat until I have told mine errand, because he's on a mission. He's on a mission. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And he goes on for the sake of time. He goes through, and we're going to go on to verse 49, okay? Because you want to know why we're skipping over that. We're not skipping the word of God. We're just understanding that what he's saying is all what we've heard already, okay? But through the entire time, he's talking about how God is working and how he made everything happen and how here he is. And you go to verse 49, and it says there, and now if ye deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or the left. So he said all these things. Here's my mission. Here's where God's led me. Here's how God's provided. So tell me, what's up? Now, I don't know about any of you, but as a dad, I would have struggled with this guy. I'm on a mission. I've come to get your daughter. Excuse me? I need to assess the situation first. I need to go clean my guns here for a little while, okay? I need to check where she's gonna be living, and if you're gonna, if this guy's gonna even take care of her, he's not seeing Isaac here. He doesn't even get to take him out for a cruise. He's seeing a servant. It's a representative. He said, okay, so I've showed up. You fed, here's the food. We haven't even eaten yet. Here's the errand that God sent me on. Now, can I take Rebecca? Can I take your family member? Whew. Let me breathe for a second. And we'll see that as we go along. But in verse 50, it goes on, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. This comes from God. We cannot speak unto the bad or good. Listen, we're not gonna say this was a bad thing. We're not gonna say this is a good thing. Behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. Here is some humility. Here is some obedience to what God has called Rebecca to do. This is unreasonable for anyone that does not believe in God. But when God calls us to a life to follow, then I can't say anything bad or good about this. Listen, this is what God's called you to do. And to, here she is, take her. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Aren't you appreciating how much worship he is giving to God? How much glory is being focused on God? And he just immediately responds. Wouldn't you want to worship next to this person? Praise God. I think he would be absolutely contagious in a church. Praise God here. Praise God here. This is what God did. This is what God did. I'm just following. It's not about me. I'm just doing what God told me to do, and he provided. And the servant brought forth jewels, in verse 53, of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And culturally, that's what they did, giving gifts. Verse 54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they arose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. I'm ready to go. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. I don't know how he went from a few to 10. But do you think that they were maybe having second thoughts about this? Do you think that the longer that she would be there, the more second thoughts that they would have about this? And the servant's like, hey, listen, I'm on a mission. We got to go. This is what needs to happen. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. God is moving. I don't want to stop what's moving. It's like trying to stop a train. Anybody step out in front of a train lately and try to stop it while it's moving? I heard that's rather dangerous. Now let's go on the spiritual side of things. Has anybody tried to step out in front of God and tried to stop what he's trying to do? Trying to stop how he's moving? Oh. I think you're a little bit too much on fire for Jesus. Can we calm it down? Let's just back it off a little bit. People are going to think you're crazy. I had a church member up north that talked about how her sister was, as a teenager, was totally on fire for God. I mean, she was in it. She was moving. God was moving in her and working on her, and she said that her sister was so much farther ahead spiritually than what she was. And then all of a sudden, one of the youth workers came to her and said, listen, you might need to calm down just a little bit. You're getting a little too gung-ho. Let's move a little bit slower. And then she began to tell me that her sister is no longer in church anymore. She's just totally bowed out and wants nothing to do with it. Can you imagine? You know, none of us have probably stated that out loud to someone. But have we ever been a hindrance to somebody's spiritual walk when we didn't jump on the train and say, let's go, let's move, let's get involved with this. I want to help you in whatever way possible. You think God's moving in this direction? Let's go. Let's be a part of this. Let's get invested. I love it when missionaries are on fire for God, right? You know, we've had some missionaries lately that they come in and they're ready and raring to go. And then all of a sudden, before missions conference even closes up shop, you're saying, hey, when are we going to start supporting these people? I want to be on the train with this wagon here. I want to move forward. I want to help them. I want to help them get where they want to be. You're feeling this. It's contagious, this work of God that's happening. It's like, I want to be a part of what God is doing. And this is where the servant said, listen, God's prospering my way. Don't stop me. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm so glad she was willing to get on the train. She's ready to go. She's seeing God move. Now here's where all the ladies are going to go, aww. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And that's when you can go, oh, God working. Well, hold on. Servant, I know you brought her here from a long distance. Can we date for a little while? I haven't chose her for myself yet. You don't see that. God's moving. God worked it out. God made this happen. Aren't you thankful for an unnamed servant that could follow the will of his master? Aren't you thankful for the example that's set here of humility, of faith, of worship, of fear of God, of asking for his guidance, of prayer, of all of these things? Aren't you thankful for a God who answers, who works in our lives, and when we think it's crazy, he makes his love just shine, his power just shine. I'm just amazed at what he can do. We have a prayer request in our Sunday school class of a young man who has a mass. And basically, they were at a point where they were without options, and all they were going to do was they were going to give him some medicine to be able to stop the growth. We kept praying. God kept working. This mass, all it's supposed to do is stop the growth, ended up decreasing the mass by like half. And then a few weeks later, we asked again, what's going on with this? Oh, it's been decreased by another 30-some percent. When the doctors were just trying to keep him comfortable, God was still working. I'm thankful to be to just lift his praises in that moment and saying, God, when they thought it was done, God, you're still working. You're still moving. Let me get on the train. Let me be a part of this. Let me see more of what you can do. Is that ever just contagious with you? You ever see somebody come to faith in Christ and you're like, let's go get another one. Let's keep moving. Let's keep working with the children and teaching them about God. And when they're coming and asking questions and the light bulb's coming on, I mean, just like they're starting to click. They're like, let's keep teaching. They're getting it. God, keep working. When some think that, well, you just need to be content, you know, with churches decreasing in size because of COVID. Because of all this other things, all these other things going on across our net. Well, just excuse ourselves out of being on the mission that God's called us to. Now let's get back into it. Let's go, and as he stated there, he says, I was in the way. I was in the action, ready for God to move. He was placing himself in a position where God could move and use him, and he was trying to be efficient here. Okay, here's where they're at. I'm going where they're at. I am on a mission. Don't hinder me. Have you ever been distracted in your Christian walk? Yeah, like every day, right? Let's stay focused. Let's keep running our race. Laying aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. What? Looking unto the author and finisher of our faith? who for the joy of the of what had happened there, he had endured the shame. He endured what could be troublesome and what he didn't deserve for the sake of what is to come. Jesus set the example. Let's look to him. Where's our faith? Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for bringing this true story to our attention, understanding the God you are working in mysterious ways, that we need to have faith, that we need to be humble, that we need to worship you, that we need to point others to you, that we need to testify of your goodness to others openly, that we need to stay on point. God, help us. I would almost guarantee that all of us struggle with some portion of the character that's been on display tonight. And God, that you would just call us to live out in obedience, live out our faith in obedience. God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just take a few moments.